We did want as many of you here as possible, but we are running late because the first person is not here yet. But we are proceeding very soon with the Groomers Association, which were fortunately here. And unlike many of us who sit here frequently, there are some members of South Africa, some of the people of South Africa, who seldom have that opportunity of getting to Parliament. And then it has all of the appearances of an interrogation rather than an engagement. And I expect on a first time, like a first exam or first baby or first anything, such things can be both an opportunity one wants to take, but also something that provides certain challenges as it a first time and we're not sure what to expect. It had never been our intention to have the Groomers Association first. They were actually last. But in order for us to proceed with the agenda, we're having to go forward on this route. Unfortunately, and as the whip has indicated to me, not all of us are fluent in three languages or five, and some have that fluency, and some have a fluency in three. The languages that the Groomers Association representative has an absolute fluency in is Xhosa. However, to accommodate those of us who don't understand Xhosa, including the chairperson, although I do understand a little, he has agreed to proceed in English, but I say that at the outset so that there's a clear understanding from all of us present. And if there is the odd expression, then I know that there are some who have that fluency who'd be able to assist. So I'm glad I don't have to say my speeches in Xhosa, because then I would be silent at the moment. But I think it's a good time to reflect on how many South Africans know at least three languages besides their own. I may know Zulu, and I may know Afrikaans and English, but we're talking of indigenous. Now I'll see by show of hands those of you who can read, write, and understand Xhosa. Three languages, read, write, and understand? No. Well, two of you, three of you. Which ones are they, Honourable Harris?
I guess it's a comment here. It's not an answer to your question. I think that the last person we'd want to be silent is you. But, Chair, is it not possible for us to find a translator in the Parliament?
We put in 12 hours to 24. We were not aware of the exigency. And, you know, I think that we can proceed on a particular basis as long as we can work on that understanding. I'd like to look at some of the... I see there are some members of DTI here. Mr. Nietzsche Tenzi, I didn't think you had the Xhosa facility, but one never knows. No. Right. But we do have Honourable Kotze. Am I right, Honourable Kotze? Yeah. Please make sure it's not the Coke version of it. I know you'll take that in the spirit that it's intended. Right. thank you very much. Right. So we're going to just swing it around a little bit and indicate to you, Mr. Simoto, I'm just checking. I hope that's correct. immortal, that we're looking at here, we had allocated basically 20 minutes for each engagement, meaning 10 minutes for you to try and share with us the Groomers Association. This is a gambling public hearings, but yes, as I said, the impact on the local economy, on employment, and so on and so forth as well as the broadening of the base here in that respect as well. So you can begin at any point. I may suggest now, if you do have anyone, I see Ms. Kemmer is alongside you now, is that right? Yes, but if you would begin now, and you can proceed without interruption, unless you need that mini translation.
Thank you, Chair, to give.
Would be a conflict of interest. We're coming close to that with DTI.
Thank you, Mrs. Chair, to give us this opportunity. First of all, this meeting, it was a short notice for us as a Grooms Association. That is why we didn't prepare every document which is we're supposed to bring it here. The main problem in the horse racing industry, there is no transformation. That is the bottom line. There is no transformation at all. Secondly, we're having a big, big problem as a Grooms Association, especially to the body which is regulating the industry, which is the National Horse Racing Authority of Southern Africa. Because of we having this pain of oppression, let's say like that, we decided to form our association as in that industry, we are different category there. There is a jockeys, there is a owners, there is a trainers, the breeders. All those people, they got their own association in order to put their problem collectively to the regulation body if it's necessary. Now, as the grooms, we decided to form our own organization and then in order to put the problem collectively. Unfortunately, from 2004, the National Horse Racing refused to recognize our association, of which there is a Jockeys Association, a Trainers Association, a Breeders Association. All of them, they got their association. Now we decided to form our because we want to rectify many problems there, especially some of the trainers, they are assaulting the employees. Like me, I am one of the victims of assaulted. That is why I'm here today by painful. That is the main problem we have there, we're having now. The National Horse Racing refused to recognize our association as a Grooms Association in order to share the ideas of like any problem must be resolved. That is the main problem. Yep. No, I'm just waiting for a question, if any.
All right. Well, look, maybe you've certainly got the right. Because we have a lot of presenters who come in with half an hour. But I think you're right. And through an engagement, we may be able to ask the questions which will assist us. So thank you. You've taught me something. 5-minute input. Right. Yes, Honourable Smala, Honourable Khadebe, Honourable Mabasa, Honourable Kotsi, Honourable Harris.
I will see. let me try to understand, because your organization, your body that you've put together, is it formed presently just in one province? Because the horse racing industry is in 9 provinces. Maybe if you can just tell me if it's various bodies that you group together. I've got maybe 2 or 3 questions, Chair. Maybe just for procedure, maybe you wanted me to just to ask 1 or 2 questions to make it for the presenter easier, or do would you like me to go with all 3?
Just wait a minute, Max.
All right. Okay. If that it is, you referred to that the NHA, the Horse Racing Authority, refused to recognize you people in 2004. I would like to understand, did you apply in the industry to be recognized officially? How did you do it? Did you go through a memorandum process? Or you know, how was that process done? And how many grooms are you people, how many grooms is part of this association? And presently, the groomers that are presently part of this, are you presently grooming 4 trainers that does participate in the horse racing fraternity presently? That's what I would like to understand from you for now. Thank you.
All right. You don't sound too good. Thanks for coming. Right. Honorable Mabasa.
No, mine is if you compare what is happening in other areas, comparing it to what you are doing in your association, what part do you think the government should play to help your association to be at the same level as the other associations as per the new South Africa? That's one question. And then the second question is, when you talk of trainers being, assaulting employees, it gives me the impression that you are not just talking of one person, but you are talking of a practice that is wide, that is broadly the practice. Can you give more flesh there so that we are able to have a better picture? In other words, when you say there is no transformation, explain in a manner that makes us understand what you mean. Thanks.
All right. I think it's over to yourself after those 2 members, Honorable Simoto, to respond.
Okay. The first question of, I don't know, Mr. Yeah, he asked me how did I approach the NHA. I used to write the letter to Mr. the CEO of National Horse Racing, Mr. Art Gok. That is how did I communicate. Secondly, your question is, our association is a professional or is a national? It's a national. And what another question?
Okay,
let me go to the government. The way the government will like him to intervene in this matter is just to approach the National Horse Racing to recognize us as grooms, to able to talk to them collectively as we want. Because I don't think today we should be here if they already recognize us, because the problem is easy to sort it out, because all of us, we know the situation of the horse racing industry, and then we know how to resolve, how to... Now, unfortunately, they don't want us to be part of their negotiations. Secondly, you are asking about the assault. Let me go to my case. The person who was assaulting me, the trainer, I went to the police station, and then he agreed that he signed admission of guilty that he assaulted me. And then when I went there to the National Horse Racing, they must conduct that hearing because it's not allowing to assault me. The National Horse Racing tried to conduct that inquiry provisional here in Cape Town. Here in Cape Town, and they told me I won the case. The trainer must pay sort of amount, I'm not remember how much. But they also confirmed that he is allowing to appeal. And then the trainer went to appeal to Joburg. But I was not aware about that. As far as I know that when he went to appeal, supposed to inform me if I'm correct. Also, the NHA is supposed to inform me the date of the appeal if I'm correct. They're supposed to let me know, but all of that, they didn't inform me what is going to happen. But I just saw my name on the newspapers that they're saying I'm not allowing to be involved in the horse racing industry. It was the newspaper of a star around the country.
Just turn the mic off, Mr. Samoto. Thank you very much. Okay. Now, we will just, there was just the part of the question from Honorable Smaller that wasn't answered, so just repeat that, please.
Just for the presenter, it was more about your organization, the members, your actual members. Are they part of the actual horse racing industry presently, the trainers and those people? And if yes, how big is your organization? How many grooms are you more or less representing so that I can just have a clear indication, because it's the first time that I hear of you, so I need to get a picture of who you are and how big you are.
If you can respond, Mr. Samoto.
Yes, I can respond. We are, let's say we're close to 1,000 nationally. Yeah. 1,000.
All right. Thank you very much for sharing that with us here. We'll just get... Yeah, thank you. Honorable Kotsi, followed by Honorable Hadebe.
Thank you, Chair. Can I speak in
it? Well, as long as you kind of do the mixture so that the Chair understands as well.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps umbuzo endifuna ukubuza kuwo ngokuba njengokuba ningarecognizwa ile bhodi ngoku nina nibhenefitha kanjani kweli shishini. Umbuzo wokuqala. Owesibini ngokokuba ingxelo ebesizivile kuzokuba eli shishini kwezinye iassociation bezikhona kweziveki ziphelileyo kuthiwa akho mali kweshishini. So sifuna ukuva kuwe ke ngoku. Kuthiwa enye into ibanguba bangabakhuthaza abantu ukuthi mabangene kweshishini yintoba ishishini alinamali. Chair, my two questions are, how are they benefiting? Because they're not recognized there. How are they benefiting? How are they benefiting from this? The second one is, with the past reports that we got that they are not encouraging people to come into this business because there is no money. So I'm checking with them whether because they economically it's not viable. So I want to check that with him. I mean, if he agrees.
I think let's rather get that Honourable Hadebe responded to before you come in.
Lena, the person who said there is no money there, that is not true. there is a money there. Secondly, the way we benefit as a grooms, there are a lot of things we have to benefit, but now, because of they refuse to recognize us, we are not benefiting as we're supposed to. For instance, I was one of I did apply to be a trainer, to be a horse trainer. And then they gave me I must write the exams or whatever. But before they give me the opportunity to write the exams, I've been working hard to, let's say, to force them to give me the opportunity. But they refused to give me the opportunity to be a trainer. And then they asked me, I must speak to another stakeholder, which is the gold circle, to give me the stable, whatever, all the necessary things I'm supposed to have when I'm a trainer. I approached the gold circle, and then the CEO of gold circle, he agreed that they have to give me in terms of the mandate they got from gambling board when the time they apply the license. They're supposed to support the historical disadvantage in this industry. For instance, there is a guy in KZN, which is the name of Bekingosi Bulana, was supported by Gold Circle, by horses. Now, also the CEO was confirmed that we will give you, each province, at least you must have one black trainer, we will do that. That is the comment of the CEO of Gold Circle. But he told me that he is going to refer this matter, because of I'm here in Western Cape, he's going to refer to the board of Gold Circle here in Cape Town. The board of Cape Town, they respond him. They cannot give me my application to get the support. They cannot give me with no reason. Even now, I can read you the answer. He said, M.J. Nerek, he said, I regret to advise that the Western Cape Chapter Board has declined your application. Simple like that. Of which they supposed to give me the support. Also, the question of when the time I wrote the exams, the CEO, he told me that I must apply the stable to Gosebati, to give me the stable, all the horses. That is a big problem that for us as a groom, that is a big question. How can you apply the license? Before you apply the license, you must apply the stable. That is a question of us. Because as far as I know, even if you're applying the license of driving the car, you can apply the driver's license before you buy the car. But now they are making the things must be difficult for us. You see, because they are saying you must apply the stable first. If you can apply the stable, if the horse can say, where is your horses, where is your license, how can I answer that? You see, they're supposed to give us the chance to apply the license to them, then they can grant or not grant. Then after you can speak to the owners, and then you can speak to Gold Circle to give you the stable. That is how it should be. But they are saying you must apply the stable first. How? As a result, unfortunately, the Gold Circle refused to give me the reason why the Gold Circle refused to give me this application, everything, is because of I laid a charge against the person who has assaulted me. Because it was a first person who followed the rights, his rights. Because it was a surprise to me to take my trainer, to my employee, to go up and down to court. That is why, for instance, if you can ask yourself, what is the involvement of Gold Circle and the NHA? They are sleeping in the same blanket. You are wasting your time to say this thing is going to happen like this, this thing can happen like this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Samoto. Honorable Hadebe, followed by Honorable Harris.
All right. Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the first of all, a person as the member of this parliament will have to sympathize with the Groomers Association. It's unbelievable that in 2011 we are still getting such stories on the land in the Republic of South Africa. But it is not surprising because when you go to the far rural areas on the farms, this story is repeated, many times. But to help here, I think that I'll be very happy because if the member can be able to tell us what is their minimum wage which they are earning as the Groomers, where do you negotiate your salaries and benefits? With what body do you negotiate your salaries and benefits? One, what is your minimum wage? How much are you earning, you guys who are the Groomers? Number two, where do you negotiate your benefits? In what forum? In what forum? Number three, are there any unions which are operating within your sector? And then the other questions, Chair, I'll come later. Thank you very much. That's one, two, three.
Thank you very much. Will you respond, please, Mr. Somoto?
There is no union. The employer just give you the increase as he want. The minimum wage is not more than 400 rand per week. And then another thing, I'm still feel painful about the issue of a trainer's license. Let me also emphasize that the NHA is treating that industry like unfair for us as a, how can I call it, as a black, let me say like that, because if you see, I got also the letter here. I asking that the exams must convert to be in Xhosa. But they said, yeah, the official language of Inasha Horse Racing is English, not Xhosa. This is a proof. The question is, how can we get in there to be part of with them? Because all of us, we are not well educated, but we got experience of the horse racing. For instance, if myself, I got 27 years working there.
Thank you. Mr. Honorable Harris.
Thank you, Chair. You said there were around 1,000 members of your association. How many grooms are there in South Africa? And then how many grooms are in horse racing? Or are you only dealing with horse racing grooms? Also, if you have an estimate for the number of racing grooms and the number of breeding grooms, I want to hear your estimates for the size of the industry, how many grooms there are. And then I'm interested, I understand the Western Cape has grooms cooperatives, five of them, the Western Cape, that have been breeding horses and have managed to sell some earlier this year. Are you aware of those initiatives here in the Western Cape?
No. I'm not aware of that. What other question?
Thank you, Mr. Somoto. There's a half a question out, well, you know, when I say that, I mean a small thing from Honorable Harris.
How many grooms are there in South Africa?
You cannot confirm is how many grooms, because the grooms are in and out to the stables. As I'm saying to you, there is no union. They're just chasing away whatever they want, you see.
You're saying that there isn't a record on, you know, at the respective location. When I say that, I mean place, farm, stud, wherever it is. There isn't a place. Now, we will be coming to others. At first, we're simply doing this broader engagement. So this is a question we'll put to someone else as well, Honourable Harris. Okay. So it's a question for the committee to pursue. Honourable Smala.
I think when we talk about the racing grooms, I mean, there are two different grooms. People must understand it. There are breeder grooms. Those are the people that work on the farms. Those are the people that looks after the animals until it gets to racing. And those are the racing grooms that works at the stables at a trainer level. So there are two things. I just would like to understand your organization. Does it take the hands of both these grooms, or is it just one section of the groom section? Then maybe this would be answered maybe a little bit by the NGB or by DTI, not so much to him, but it's also something that came out of and that links with the tubes whip. I want to understand these cases of misconduct by...
We're going to be addressing the others later, just after this. That's what I'm trying to caution you on. So, right. Honourable Mr. Samortal?
Well, what is the question? Okay. Only the horse racing. Yes.
Are the racing grooms, grooms linked to that aspect, the gambling aspect.
Mm.
Right. Honourable McIntosh, that's our last question to Mr. Samortal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I'm Olim Klagat. Can you go to Kassisi into Ghanan? You were assaulted. And you said you went to the police, and then you said there was an appeal in Johannesburg. What I don't quite understand, you went to the police, and the person who assaulted you was convicted, according to what you, a paid admission guilt. But was that admission of guilt paid to the association? Were there two disciplinary processes? You went to the police because you'd been assaulted, which millions of people do all the time, and then you also, it seems to me, had an internal disciplinary position. Is that correct? And is it the police one, the man was convicted or paid an admission of guilt, and then there was a second process, which was the internal disciplinary matter in the association. Can I just understand that there were these two processes? My second question, my colleague, Honourable Khadev, has already answered. There is no trade union, because normally some of the things you're raising would be sorted out through a union. Thank you.
Mr. Samortal also said there's no union. But, Mr. Samortal, you've got the questions, I think, very clearly, if you can respond.
The time he paid the admission of guilt in the police station, he was avoiding to go to court. Now, that is the case was finalized that time. As I was still feeling painful to the National Horse Racing, have to take the responsibility to take this process again. The reason why I forced the National Horse Racing must also doing the internal inquiry is because some other trainers, if there is a fight, something like that, they used to took the license away. Like, for instance, there is another trainer in KZN, Anil Maharaj, was fighting with another trainer. And then the internal hearing was found Maharaj was guilty, and then they took the license for him. That is why I say also Mr. Best must have that inquiry, same like Mr. Maharaj.
Thank you, Mr. Samortal. Now, members, you can see how we've been approaching this matter. There were one or two questions, and we need to conclude this in 5 minutes, really. Of course, it doesn't mean to say that we won't address these other matters a little bit later on as well. Some questions were referred, perhaps, to a DTI, but I think we'll save that one for the moment and rather go to the NHRA, the Breeders' Association, the Racing of South Africa, and the RA, what is that, Racing Association, Mpumalela, who are in attendance, as well as the Harness Association. Now, one of the, many of the issues raised was under the National Horse Racing Association. But before we get there, there's just a question that I have as chairperson. A lot of these issues which were expressed here anyway. You've expressed them from it happened to an individual, yourself in particular. For us, it would also be quite important to learn whether this was an isolated case that happened to you per se, or whether within the Groomers Association there are other cases, other similar cases, that would assist us as well in this regard. So if you can just speak on that for a little bit, Mr. Samortu. So other cases within, of that you are referring to on the three issues, people who get assaulted, the second issue you mentioned about the application type of process that is embarked upon, and so on. Is this just to yourself, or is it broader?
No, it's just for myself.
Are you the only person in the Groomers Association that you know of who has experienced this?
There are a lot of the grooms, they getting assaulted, but they are not interesting to go further with the case.
All right. Now, where we're going to do this is there are certain questions that were that came up in respect of the horse, the National Horse Racing Association. Is that right? And the National Horse Racing Association is here. It would be helpful to learn, and so is Pumalela. I'm not aware that Gold Circle is here per se. You are here, right. And I think one is particularly interested in the application process in the first instance, and in the second instance, the issue of the chicken and egg. How do you even get there if you have to? You can't own a stable before X. So you can't buy a car before a license, very much like the TV, if you like. You have to produce a license, or the other way around as in a motor car. I think that's very, very clear. So there were other questions as well that have been raised. It would be helpful to the committee to learn exactly how many grooms were employed in the racing fraternity. Is there any such figure? Thank you. So, in the first instance, the National Horse Racing Association should raise their hands. But after that, we can broaden it. Okay? Thank you. Please give your name and your structure.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My name is Rob de Kock, and I'm Chief Executive of the National Horse Racing Authority. I must say that I was taken a little bit by surprise this morning in terms of Mr. Samota's presentation. I certainly do remember, going back a good number of years, that there was some correspondence where we were requested to look at possible representation by the grooms If I remember clearly, and I don't have obviously that documentation with me, and I would be happy to let you have that in writing, I seem to remember that our response was we would like to know whether they had a constitution, we would like to know how many members they have, and who their office bearers were, in order that we could consider entering into discussions with them. I don't recall ever getting a response to that. And since that initial correspondence, certainly I have not had any further requests from the grooms. I certainly would have no problem in meeting with a grooms association if they are representative of the grooms. But certainly that reply never came back to us. And so I also don't know in what sense they would like to negotiate with us, because certainly with regard to issues such as wages, we would not be the correct authority to do that. I think that they are employed by trainers and therefore would need to have those type of negotiations between their representatives and the representatives of the trainers. But I would be more than happy to, you know, supply you with copies of that correspondence, because I don't have an intimate recollection of what happened in, I think Mr. Simota said, 2004.
What I'd like to know as well in the committee is, what is the position? So the position is the constitution has to be supplied. Now, what is the, what if everything, what is it that would prevent such a process continuing? That's what I'm trying to get at.
So, Madam Chairperson, nothing whatsoever. There was, as I say, an initial round of correspondence, and nothing has transpired since then. So if the grooms, as a representative body, and I think one needs to be aware that they are a representative body, wanted to enter into negotiations, be it with us, be it with the trainers, be it with anyone within racing, I'm quite sure that we would be happy to entertain that.
How many grooms are there in the racing fraternity? You know, what they call, what, racing grooms, or grooms in the racing, horse racing. Right, who can give me this response? Because I would imagine someone in this room must have that right at their fingertips. Thank you.
Madam Chair, we only proceed from Tumalela. The number has been submitted to your Honourable Committee. It's part of the economic impact study. What is the number?
Just give me the number, because even you don't have it.
But it's about 3,500, but the exact number is in the economic impact study, Madam Chair. If I may, just point out, Madam Chair, that our employees at Pumalela are unionized. So all of our employees are represented by a union. But just to make sure that the committee is not mistaken or misled, the grooms are not employed by either the NHA or by Pumalela or Gold Circle. The grooms are employed by the trainers, and the trainers are self-employed people. They contract with the owners, and they employ the trainers.
Thank you very much. Have we got anyone here from the Trainers Association? Thank you. Now, the Trainers Association are going to tell us.
Madam Chair,
what?
Forgive me?
You heard the question.
The Trainers Association doesn't exist, Madam Chair.
Right. I said, is there anyone? You put your hand up. So I assumed you were the one. So there's no one. There's no such association. Under which association do the trainers fall? Can anyone give me that? Yes, at the back.
Morning, Madam Chair. It's Larry Weinstein from the Racing Association. And as we've put forward to this committee, the industry is fragmented, and the trainers, there are trainers associations in certain areas, but no national trainers association. in Gauteng there isn't a trainers association, and there is a trainers association in the Western Cape. So again, even from a national point of view, there isn't a national body that represents trainers.
I mean, this is getting ridiculous. So you could run up to Gauteng without a license, you can train.
No, that's not the case.
Okay.
The case
exactly is, what would prevent you being a trainer?
Well, if you want to be a trainer, you have to apply to the National Horse Racing Authority for a license.
Gentlemen, there's it seems mainly gentlemen in this fraternity. We want clear responses. You sit in this association, I sit with I don't know how many mandates on our laps here, and you can't even give me the finger off your fingertips, but you make a comment like, we've sent you the information. Come and check my office and see how much information we've got on gambling. Thank you. Honourable Khadebe.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think it's very encouraging to hear that the trainers get the license from the National Horse Racing Authority. So it means that there's some sort of a control around this industry. But what is critical is the issue of the entrance. What entrance to this? Because I think that from the gentleman from the Kumas also wanted to be a trainer. That's what I heard. But one of the things is that you must get a license. Number two is that before you can get a license, you must have a stable first. Why is the National Horse Racing Authority putting such onerous conditions for the people to be trainers? Number two, I'll also go to the National Horse Racing Authority. On the average, what is the average grade level of a groomer when they're going to demand that the test for the trainer must only be in English, because officially we know that in this country we've got 11 languages. So what is the average education level of a groomer? And then what did they do to ensure that they embrace these people and empower them?
All right. And then Honourable Copsey, and the last question, the rest we will pursue in writing, of Honourable Harris.
Chair. I just want to bring a committee a little bit backward when we got some inputs from the Horse Racing Association and others about the frustrations they were experiencing around exports. And I think as a committee we were very sympathetic around what is happening with that, and we felt as South Africans we need to do something. We were told that there is no political will, and amongst ourselves we were really thinking this must be done. I think there should be a political will amongst the authorities now, because as South Africans, if we want businesses to go to the new entrance as well, we cannot get information to be told that Mr. Simoto and his people were asked to bring constitution and that. What has the association done to assist those people? There is something called recognition of prior learning. These people, some of them have had 27 years of experience. That is recognition. You don't need any certificate. That alone must recognize that. And I think all the authorities in South Africa should be assisting upcoming groups to be part of that. Hence, we should not hear things like there is no business in this. This is economically not viable. And I think today the department is here, and I think they need to be assisting these people as the Department of Trade and Industry, because there is trade here, there is economy, there is actually employment here. And I think perhaps we need to hear what have they done to assist those people. If they said they must bring constitution, they must bring that, what role have they played to actually assist those groupings in actually with the standards they are expecting from them?
Right. Thank you, Honourable Kotsi. Honourable Harris.
Chair, the DTI commissioned a study into the whole industry, and one of the things they dealt with was horse racing in general. They dealt with employment, BEE, various different aspects, and I've just looked through the commission's report, And there's really, they mention the name Groom once, and it's relating to employment, but there's no there's no flagging of an issue in the Commission's report. Now, the point of these hearings is to interrogate the Commission's report and work out where the problems are and what needs to be done in terms of legislation and regulations. I think perhaps we need somebody from the Commission or the DTI to explain their view on if they think there is an issue here, and if so, why isn't it in the report? Or if they, perhaps they think this isn't something that, that we should be considering.
Thank you very much. I think we're going to first ask the DDG of Trade and Industry, Ms. Lodwen Thule, to see whether she can comment at this point here on this particular matter, because our mandate, having got this report of the Commission, came back here for us to exercise our oversight, review it, and critically put our position forward as to what not only was agreed with and not agreed with, but also what omissions were discerned and identified in this area. And this was an area, this whole report is on gambling. However, gambling in this country, even currently now, I wish to remind members of this, and those here at the public hearings, gambling became legislated not to be seen as a primary revenue earner, but to be regulated because it was clear that it existed and it was not constructive to push it underground. I must make emphasis. So various conditions were put in place to ensure they contributed to the broader socio-economic transformation, development and growth. And this is also part of that. And that we have heard in these public hearings, there isn't any person who's come here, whether they are for this review, against this review, or whatever, that hasn't said one thing. It should be regulated. It should be regulated. There's no dispute on that. So let's get DTI, thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, honourable members. Chair, I think our understanding as a department is that we'll also be afforded an opportunity to respond to this report. I think if we recall, this is an independent report. And having received it, the Minister tabled it here in Parliament so that then we can then further interrogate it. And after this, then the department will have the opportunity to then respond to it. But I must accept, Chair, that obviously the issue of grooming doesn't feature much. But the terms of reference for the Gambling Review Commission was very broad. But I think there are other pertinent issues that actually took more center stage. And I think their focus was on those issues. But I don't think it actually prevents us from further engaging and making recommendations based on the public hearings, because I think these public hearings are giving us an opportunity to look at the issues that might actually be gaps. Because we've heard a lot about the strains and the constraints in this industry in regards to trading, exports, and so forth and so forth. But I think the issue that comes to the fore today, you know, gives us a different aspect of it in regards to the people that work in there. I think this is one of the issues that came up during the public hearings that we were having on animal raising. But they've never come out in this prominent manner in the other areas of gambling. The issues about how animals are handled and so forth and so forth, I think there was a bigger focus on that when we were doing hearings. But I think the issue of how human beings are treated in various industries has never really surfaced this much. I think, again, Chair, it's perhaps because the the terms of reference when they say gambling, people look at the game and so forth and so forth. The focus is on the machines, this and that and that. But I think we've not talked too much about the other aspects. And so I think this basically says that perhaps the other angle that we need to see how we can get to that. The next angle is the effects. You know, we've heard a lot about the industry itself. I think even through the public hearings, we've heard a lot about the industry itself, but not the effects part of it. We've not heard NGOs that deal with the effects of these. We've not heard too much around that. And as I'm saying, Chair, those are the social aspects that we actually wanted the commission to look at, but I think we can accept that this is giving us an indication of some of the gaps, and then when we look at our own responses and the recommendations that we'll make as a department, we'll also focus on those issues. Thank you, Chair.
Right. I have to be cognizant of time as well. So I certainly know that the committee will be putting forward other questions to those we believe may add to our understanding of the challenge here. Now, in particular, also indicating this to Mr. Somorto, we allocate 20 minutes to engagement. I think Ms. Pema herself will Pema will confirm with you that she was virtually hustled out. So it is not, we do have to be cognizant of that. But I'm looking at the chairperson of the working group and indicating and requesting that the chairperson of the working group does pursue a certain of these issues again, and that is the Honourable Khabasa there with the red tie at the back, and he will contact you, Mr. Somorto, through our committee secretary, and for that matter, anyone else that may be pertinent, so that we don't, in putting together the report, you know, our comments, we're able to come forward perhaps with a proposal in certain aspects that we have identified gaps, and they are not all the gaps possibly. The closing comment will be by the whip of the committee, Honourable Khadebe.
Chairperson, I think myself and Honourable Kuti have asked certain questions which must be answered either by NHA or by Pumelelo or Corsetel. The issue of the entrance to this thing, even the exit.
We have got to stop this at 25 past. You've got a minute each to respond. Gold Circle and then Pumelela. Someone had their hand up under Gold Circle.
Madam,
I don't know what the reluctance is.
Madam Chairperson, could I just perhaps respond to Honourable...
from Gold Circle.
No, I was going to respond in terms of the trainer's licence aspect, if you would permit me to. I'm more than happy to put the entire thing in a written submission, because I think that it will take some
time.
Can
you just respond to the point that has been made, because we want two of you on that.
Okay, I think that... to respond to the issue of the trainer's license, we have very strict criteria in terms of people getting trainer's licenses. And I think we follow a process in terms of which we license grooms as stable employees. They are licensed to a particular trainer. They do have to write an exam. They then have to do 2.5 years practical training in a stable. Those exams, Mr. Somorto is right, are set in English, but we do provide for oral examinations because certain people are not good in the written language, and also we do provide for some of our staff, should the person want it, in terms of that oral exam, to have the questions posed to him in Xhosa or Zulu. Thereafter, if they wish to progress to become an assistant trainer, there is a further examination to be written. There is a further 2.5 year period of practical training, going with the trainer to racing, understanding the rules, what they have to do to nominate horses, etc. And if they complete that, we ask them to write a trainer's exam, and if they pass that, it is open to them to then become a trainer. That process applies to everybody, irrespective of race group, and I think it is a very fair process in terms of which we determine that a person is now competent to be a trainer, because there is obviously a lot of money bet on horses that are racing, and one wants to assure oneself that the trainers, when they do get a license, are competent to do that job. And I think also, if I could just make the comment there, there are groom schools in most of the provinces where the grooms do get a basic education in English, arithmetic, writing, etc., etc. I don't have all the details of that, but there is that in place. Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Yeah, we will be referring some written questions to you for a written response. From Leila.
Madam Chair, I'm not competent, I'm afraid, to respond on grooms. Because Pumalela doesn't employ any grooms, I would like to refer the question to Mr. Adrian Todd, who represents the Thoroughbred Breeders Association and who can give you an overview of groom schools and the grooms co-ops.
First instance, you've got 1 minute here, and you will then respond in writing.
Okay, thank you very much, Madam Chair. Just to be very quick about it, the Breeders Association, as I stated in my previous presentation, does have a number of grooms co-ops in place. We do work very closely with the DTI in that regard. I answered Honourable Snow's question the other week that we're very happy with the way that's been working. I think the DTI are very happy. We're looking at expanding it. There are grooms schools in place at the racetracks that provide the grooms with horse training as well as educational training in all of the centres. I have been in discussion with the DTI regarding cooperative opportunities at racetracks as well, even though that is outside of my area of expertise. The question there is, you can buy horses, you can breed horses, and you can sell horses. How do you do it at a racetrack? Do you buy a group of grooms a racehorse and then maybe they win prize money, maybe they don't? I have not yet been able to formulate in my own brain a business plan that would be successful for the purchase of racehorses at a racetrack. It's one thing to breed them and sell them. It's another thing to run them. Thank you.
Clearly, these questions are not given the time for you to respond adequately. But you will have that opportunity in writing, and the questions will be put to you again in writing. But I think members of the horse racing fraternity and horse, sometimes people are calling it sports, all kinds of things they're calling it, we're interested in the gambling aspects of it. We would like you to be cognizant of the pertinent questions we are raising. Just pilot checklist. What are the blockages to entrance? What are the options, etc., etc., moving forward on that basis? But we'll put the written questions to all of you in this fraternity so you can all contribute. I would hope that there isn't going to be the kind of collaboration I see as in collusion. I want a very clear response, very easy for us to check out collusion. And as someone on the committee has said earlier, when we become aware of a serious issue, we take it up immediately, drop everything, as the members you know who came to see me, and pursue it at the highest level. Now, we're going to do that with this as well. So now that those who've engaged me on the export issue know how fast we work, they know we work fast. Thank you. So we're now moving into the next thing. Thank you, Honourable Mr. Samortal. You may stay here and listen to the rest. Thank you. So we now, Ms. Kemmer, you did have the opportunity of beginning with us, when was it... Wednesday. Yes, you now know exactly what it is we're looking for. We don't have the luxury of time ever. We did allow far more time for the Groomers Association because it was something, as even the DTI indicated, that we needed to just check out. So there was more time allocated. So I know that you are going to take us forward rapidly. I'll just take Honourable Harris's comment, question, because I've closed this particular matter, but it may be on the questions and responses and written.
That's exactly what it is, Chair. It's just, I need a clarity on this. I phrased my question to the Gambling Commission. I'm wondering, is that legitimate? Are we allowed to phrase questions to them? Will we be allowed to in future? Are they here as an attendee, and can we question them?
I'm talking about the National Gambling Board now. The review. No, we've already seen them, and we can at any point engage with them. No, not here. We'll do it in writing to them. We can't do it here right now. That's what I'm saying to you. But they are, it's not that you can't, we can't. Okay?
So they are in the meeting.
No, I'm closing off the time. It is half past 10.
I understand. I'm just looking for a principle. In future, am I allowed to phrase a question to the Gambling Commission, the authors of the report?
I've already said yes. But I said, and perhaps my English is not as good as yours, I said this will be put in writing. Now, does everyone understand that?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to shed more light on the matter that relates to the Grooms, because I have worked closely with the Grooms when I was breeding. I will only take a minute. I think it is well and good that the TBA is...
Tamara, I would like you... You've been invited here specifically in your area. Please.
My apologies, Madam Chair. Horse racing is a hobby and a sport. This is how the industry views horse racing. From a government perspective, obviously, it is a national industry, it is a major employer, it needs to be regulated. It forms part of an international community of major sporting events that attract international owners, races, facility. You know, from a historical perspective, stakeholders are divided by race and economic capacity. The breeders, owners, trainers, jockeys are mainly white, the race goers, grooms are black. Race courses have been provided previously by the local, you know, authorities, and therefore they were handed over to the clubs, and now they sit with, they are in private hands. From an owner perspective, it is a business, and this is how we view horse racing. It generates an attractive return on investment, whether that return on investment is in monetary terms or is in as far as social entertainment, but there's got to be something. I'll take the best practice example, the UK, Australia, UK, Australia, Hong Kong, but I will, for this discussion, I will stick to the UK. Horse racing has generated more than £1 billion pounds in tax revenue over 5 years, has seen capital investment of more than 700 million, employs more than 100,000 people directly and indirectly. Number of people attending horse racing in 2008 in the UK is 5.7 million. Horse racing is now second biggest sport in terms of annual attendance, second to soccer. Stakeholders, race goers, owners, trainers, breeders, betting operators, employers, broadcast companies, that is local, international horse racing community, government, that is local and, best practices, it's these three countries. UK has 60 race courses. Australia, more than 300 race courses. Hong Kong, more than 10 race courses. And that...
Leave if you wish to do so. Employment. This is the 100,000 people employed, and this is between, you know, it's direct and indirect, and they all make up the British, you know, the horse racing, you know, sector. The racing industry, you know, capital expenditure in the UK in the past 5 years to 2008, that is the split, £706 million. The business case of horse racing, economic impact, race courses, race goers, admission fees, catering stands, corporate attendances, sponsors, and that includes advertisers, media, owners, breeders, off-course, on-course, you know, by mistake, on-course, secondary expenditure, business-to-business transaction, consumer expenditure. Racing position within the sports market. Obviously, you can see soccer is right where it matters, but horse racing is the second, and this is the UK. The importance of regulation in horse racing, fair competition, entry of new players, local and international, structural change of racial mix, that is, entry of historically disadvantaged individuals into ownership, training, betting, operations, as well as racecourse ownership. Raising the level of horse racing in South Africa to international best in class, National Horse Racing Authority to operate like your South African Rugby Board or SAFA, to have accountability to the Minister of Sport, promotion and development of sport in all provinces, and creation of employment. The state of horse racing in South Africa, which I think is the most interesting part. Horse racing corporatization. This is an issue that affects the industry because decisions were made. And the decisions that affect South Africa, that affect the future of horse racing, and that affect us as a country, let alone the horse racing fraternity. This is interesting. It would be interesting to know the consultative process that was taken to arrive at this decision. I would like questions to be asked in that regard. The vertical sector with a dominant monopoly, and that is Gold Circle Pumelela, in the middle, National Horse Racing Authority. That, you know, I would like, you know, this aspect to be looked into, because this is what stifles the industry. This is what makes it impossible for people to come in with innovation into this industry. So we can begin to see revenue goes up. We can begin to see more young people taking up horse racing. We can begin to see people who are educated changing. If you go to Australia, you know, and attend the sales, or you go to stud farms, you meet people who are at a highest level. The racial there is no racial composition, and why should it be like that in South Africa? We understand historically that has been the case, but we would like that to change. You go to England, you go to Ireland, it is the same. You see people who love the industry, who understand it, who are not miserable, who are able to represent the industry. Horse racing is deteriorating because of old ways of doing things, also because of monopoly. Because people who are in control of horse racing, they have their own limitations as well as their insecurities, and therefore it is difficult for them to begin to engage with new players and understand maybe where we should be taking South African horse racing, which is important, because this is not about only business, it is about the future of this sport in South Africa. Race courses, betting operators are all in the same private hands. South Africa does not have center stage status in horse racing, you know, unlike Australia, UK, Hong Kong, Dubai, USA, France. Unfortunately, in the bigger scheme of things internationally, as South African horse racing, we do not matter. Every long ago, horse racing was a hobby for the wealthy. Now it is a national sport. That creates employment, attracts large sponsorship and prizes, and promotes tourism. This is how so many countries view horse racing. You take Dubai, you know, that is the same reason, you know, Dubai is investing, as well as other countries, and that includes England, with new innovation and new, you know, race events coming up, because they want to begin to attract more people into the country. Horse racing in South Africa can be the anchor for the industry in Africa, because
South Africa has the potential to actually become the capital of horse racing in Africa. And if South Africa doesn't move forward, we actually hold back the rest of Africa and take advantage of weather and time zone differences with the U.S., Europe, and Australasia. And the reality is, in as far as our breeding program is concerned, we do compete with Australia, and Australia is far ahead of us in as far as, you know, how it is able to utilize horse racing to grow its economy. The state of horse racing in South Africa compared to other countries. This is the study that was conducted by Deloitte, and South Africa does not feature. This is international horse racing. As you can see, we do not feature. This is not what I have put. This was conducted by British horse racing, and the main reason it was to understand exactly who the biggest players, because they wanted to make strategic decisions. South Africa is no threat, and therefore, and maybe, you know, rightly so, it's also because of the issues that relate to export, but the challenge is, how is that being addressed? Recommendations, inquiry into horse racing industry. That is important. Resolve existing monopoly in the industry. Horse racing authority to fall under the Ministry of Sport. This is a bit difficult because already SASPOC owns 5% of Pumalela. SASPOC, which is a body that is meant to put forward the interests of sport. SASPOC is actually, yes, SASPOC is actually, you know, a shareholder and is involved with Pumalela. Horse racing authority to fall under the Ministry of Sport. And the reason I'm raising this is because of the conflict of interest that I'm actually looking at, even though we look at this and we say it is sport. Reconstitute the horse racing authority, change it so it reflects what is positive so it can take us forward. Ministerial cluster for horse racing to be set up and met strategy together with stakeholders and also look as to how to raise the industry to an international standard and become the hub of the hub for Africa. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much indeed. We do seem on this occasion to have focused on horse racing more as a sport than what the public hearings are pursuing, and although one accepts that sporting comes into many of these things, that we are dealing with the gambling legislation per se. Now, of course, horse racing is also very big in the gambling, or certainly occupies a sector in the gambling. We accept that. So, I think if you have anything just to add in a few minutes on the gambling aspects, although you did to some extent share this in the last engagement that we had. Those not present then may not have been aware, but I mean for the committee, we do have that. But if there's anything extra, because our focus for the public hearings has to be linked to the gambling legislation. This is the purpose of it. It is based on the commission's review of that, the secondary legislation itself. So just back to yourself, Ms. Kemmer.
Maybe the best approach is to talk a little bit about the matter that relates to the Competition Commission, because that is what, in a way, relates to the gambling aspect. You know, because, you know, that is based on why the portfolio committee has invited us in the first place to actually come here. This relates to the two companies that are involved on the betting side, and that is Pumelela and Gold Circle. They have formed a JV partnership under the name of Betting World, Pty Ltd. Betting World is a company that is their betting platform. It has the shops, the betting shops around the country, and they run the business as partners. The commingling and everything. The reason we felt as new players in the industry, it is important to put forward our concerns with the Competition Commission, it is because we realize that the rules of engagement are not clarified. When two companies that are meant to be competing are actually in partnership, and as a new player, we realize that we will be pushed in, as it has been indicated in our negotiations with Pumelela, where they demanded that we do not apply for a totalizator license and therefore use their totalizator license. As an example, there is a company that was awarded a totalizator license, and Pumelela has actually challenged in court the fact that this company was granted a license. Now, the second aspect relates to Pumelela Gaming, Pumelela Gold Circle Enterprises, which is a partnership between the two race operators. And in this case, what they do, they take their races and sell them overseas jointly using the same platform. And at the same time, they actually use Teletrack, which is owned by Pumelela, which in this case does not necessarily give the consumers options. In this case, if you're going to use the platform, you're going to use Teletrack, and that's it. I can understand, you know, issues that relate to restructuring of the business and ensuring that your costs are covered and you keep your costs down, but not to a point where we compromise the Competition Act, because this is what we felt strongly about. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kema. Honourable members, perhaps you could raise your hands if you have any questions or comments. Honourable McIntosh, Honourable Smala, Honourable Khadebe, Honourable Kotsi.
Madam Chair, I would like to ask Ms. Cameron, congratulations.
You're a very good marketer, and it was a very interesting presentation. I'd like to ask Ms. Cam a question. If Sascock, or I understand Kosatu, who are also shareholders in Pumelela, were to nominate her as a black female to become a director of Pumelela, would she consider accepting the nomination?
Next point. Honourable Smala.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think I would like to start with some of the facts surrounding the number of race courses that are there. I would think the numbers that you are taking on here, are these race courses that are like in daily use, like we know, like on a weekly basis, or are those some of the courses that are maybe just being used, say, once a year or twice a year, which we do find, like, in the bush races that are there? Do they incorporate those sort of stats as well? We did get a controversial view.
It's all the systems that have just come on.
I think we need someone to come immediately. Now, that's what we have already identified, that we have an electronic problem. Now, just a minute. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to, because we got some other inputs earlier concerning our successes, and especially in the international arena, where we hold certain positions, where we have raced with certain stakeholders that has won certain things for the very first time. We were referred to some of the issues in Dubai most recently, with Michael de Cox and their trainer and their partnership and apprentices and those things. Would you not see that as a significant stride by South Africa making certain grounds on behalf of SA? I would also like you to refer to where government or local authority gave land to some of these industries, and I'm referring to the racing horse, you know, the race tracks, which you just talked at the end. I'm trying to understand capital investment within that industry. Does it come from that industry itself? So if there are improvements being made or expenses made, does it come from that industry, or is government part of that capital development? It was very interesting, your leading horse racing nations, that the one with the I can't say graphs, it's got all these nice little balls with all the figures in, but in the bottom it says number of different runners times 10,000. Is that determined on the number of horses actually being run in that country? I think we got a feel that there's 40,000 runners in South Africa presently running, if I recall something right. And those are the figures, the actual horse racing, the actual runners actually running in those pertaining issues. Are those, do I understand that graph correctly in your understanding? And I think, Chairperson, I think if you would allow some of the comments that were made, if some of our counterparts on the other side would maybe answer to some of these things, because I don't know, because I don't want to play two people against each other, but what I do see here is one viewpoint coming across, another viewpoint coming across from the other side, and who's right and who's wrong. Are we supposed to determine who's right and who's wrong on the facts? Or because it's a situation which at some point or another we've got to determine who's right and who's wrong. And maybe it's not going to be today, maybe it's with the chair of the working group at some point, but maybe some sort of guidance in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
No, we're not running a court. So let's get that one out of the way now. But as this, perhaps the agenda is not that clear. We have got time, a lot of time, to engage others on broader issues. That's why they're here. They're here to have heard what's been said. Do you follow? So that we can engage them all. So right now, we're getting it clear here from Ms. Kemmer. Then we're going to engage the broader grouping. I hope that's quite clear. In the same way we did it with Mr. Samorto. We didn't chop and change every 5 minutes, all right? So, I'm sure you were just trying to assist us when the mic went off. Honourable Hadebe.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I think that with these two presentations which are here today, we juxtapose them against the other presentations we had the other week, from the 28th of October until now. I think that we can conclude that there are serious problems in this industry. And then I think that what is critical is, as you said here, is that the very same stakeholders of the industry want to be regulated. I think that by the mere fact that they want that, it shows that there's a problem. But at the same time, Chair, I think that you're correct when you said that this presentation we're having today is more like on a sports side. So what I appeal for on the side of Ms. Kemmer is that she must also write to the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of Sports and Recreation so that these things can also be presented there. Because I'll have a serious problem if SouthCorp is going to have a stakeholder, become a shareholder together in Pumelela, whereas it's part of it. That one will be a conflict of interest here. I think that's correct, but the correct body to be dealing with that is the Portfolio Committee of Sports and Industry and that ministry. I think that that's the first aspect. I'll say that we have to do that. But, Chair, when you look at this thing, with these gaps which you are seeing here, Chair, it's very clear that, as Honorable Smala has said, we cannot determine who's right, who's wrong from this committee. We don't have that capacity. Will this question I also asked the others, will Ms. Kemmer be comfortable when we ask the minister to persuade the president to have a judicial commission of inquiry around this board? Are you going to have a problem around that? And then number two, Chair, part of the work which we are doing as the Parliament of the Republic is to promote racial reconciliation. That one is the bottom line. I think that that's the vision of our constitution, the vision of the party where I come from. That's why in 1955 it adopted the Freedom Charter. In the Freedom Charter, it was very clear that South Africa belongs to all who live it in black and white. That's critical. Chairperson, I'm referring to, that's why I want to ask Ms. Kemmer direct. I see a letter which went to, from this panel we're having, the responses for the question we raised. I see a letter which went to the CEO, Mr. Rob de Kock, coming from Ms. Kemmer. I see that letter is very stinging. It's very stinging, Chairperson. And then, if it's like that, I don't know whether is it going to promote racial harmony in particular. Because as this government, we are going to serve everyone across the board. You can be white, you can be black, you can have voted this government, you might not have voted this government, but what is critical that we are going to serve everyone across the board. The question is, like, what motivated her to write such a stinging letter? Because I don't think that it is in the interest of racial reconciliation for this country. But if she's not comfortable, she can make a written response to us. But I've got a serious problem with it. I'll be honest. From where I'm standing, I know that I'm very against the exploitation of the Kumas. We cannot agree with the situation whereby they are going to be assaulted. We're not going to agree with the situation whereby they are going to be blocked from advancing in social life. But at the same time, we can also not agree for the other people to be brought down because of the race, because of the age. We cannot agree to that. I think that we must try to have that balance, so that we build this South Africa. This South Africa does not belong to me. It belongs to my great-grandchildren, so that when they leave, they must have a better place to live in. Unlike what I experienced, I don't want any of my children or my grandchildren to experience what I experienced in the 80s and the 70s. I don't want that. So I think that she, in her dealings, how she will she promote racial harmony and integration? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Khadebe. Honourable Coxie, was it your hand?
Chair, my question would be, the government has recently, as Honourable Smala was saying, there's been an agreement signed with Dubai, which I think in the last few weeks was a concern about exports, and I think that is really coming to exactly what some of the presentation were about, the bottleneck, the problems around exports. I would want to know to Ms. Tinda Kemmer that how does she see herself or her organization and maybe the emerging businesses around this benefiting from this agreement? Because I think it should be incumbent upon the system. If that benefit is coming to South Africa, it must benefit everybody, especially people in that sector. And perhaps going down maybe up to, the groomers, because eventually it must actually benefit everybody, not perhaps the few. The other would be perhaps around the her presentation on the fact that the historically advantaged people have actually not been involved in this. Perhaps the ownership part of it. I think it would be assisting as well, because, you know, in kind of businesses, people look at it and see that there is friendly entry to it. And perhaps sometimes they come in, they realize that, no, there's blockages, they move out. We would like all the economic activities of this country to be diverse, all races to be involved. How does she see more new entrants coming in? You know, if something can be put together, because we want other races, people to come in. We also want women, more women to come in, as the chair was saying. We want more women to come in and perhaps not see her alone. How can that be done? Because the department is here, and in terms of monitoring that, they should actually, once we deal with this, we are able to address that.
Thank you very much. Thank you, honourable members. Now, we're going to get Ms. Kemma first to respond. She's here presenting, you see, from her organisation. Ms. Kemma?
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the Pumalela board nomination. I would be conflicted because the business I have established lays in that space. That is one of the reasons that made me need more convincing about acquiring Arlington. I sat with our technical experts from England because I did not trust the proposal, simply because I knew there is something. So I would not take a board position in any company that is involved in what I have established, because there will be a conflict of interest. My priority is business. My priority is success of this industry. My priority is ARG. And that's one of the reasons I would not take board positions in other sectors, even if they don't relate to what we are doing, because you only have so many hours a day. But also, I still need to learn a lot, and I've come to understand that South Africa, unfortunately, is not the space where I can actually learn. And that is the reason I am working closely with partners in the Middle East and Europe, simply because people have their insecurities, and people are actually protecting their interests, rightly so. So in as far as the SASCOC, if this question relates to the fact that SASCOC is in a way, a shareholder within Pumalela, I just think that this has to do with the role SASCOC is actually playing in sport. Does SASCOC have a share in South African rugby? Does SASCOC have a share in football? Does SASCOC have a share in other various sports? Why in horse racing? And why in a company that is listed? That is the question. Now, it makes it difficult for an organization that is pro-change, that is to develop sport in the rural areas to be exactly where we want change to be. It is about those basic principles where you know you are not to be a part, which in this case, you know, makes it difficult to even say, you know, SAFCOC, we look at, you know, whatever. We've had meetings with SAFCOC, you know, for the past 2 years. And, okay, let me just take another question. The question that relates to, because I can actually go on, and this is based on the experiences that I have, and some are good and some are not so good. The number of race courses, this is the study that was conducted by Deloitte. It wasn't conducted by Pindi. I do not have the expertise to do that. I've only just started. Possibly in 50 years, I will be in a position because it will be based on my experiences. What I am saying, it is what Deloitte says. And Deloitte's terms of reference were based on what British horse racing asked them to do. All I have done is to take the information, and I thought it's necessary to share the information with other people so we can understand where we are. The international successes, we can actually sit and say, we did very well in soccer because we are South Africans, we love our country. But it is always important to know what other people think of you. I only began to understand the problems within horse racing when I started talking to people in other countries, the Middle East. Started asking specific questions with regards to things that are not happening in South Africa. I didn't understand because all I knew was all the good things that were said. I don't know that we have produced, you know, the 2008 Dubai World Cup winner. But the point is he ever going to come back and run here? The point is he going to pulp our breeding so we can use his bloodstock to actually upgrade the South African bloodstock as other countries do? The point is, we are not going to do that simply because our races are not of excellent quality. Why? Simply because it is all about the value. We have potential, but it's all about taking it to the next level and competing, you know, with those countries. And unfortunately, from where we're sitting, you know, we are not there. Yes, there's quite a lot of stuff we have done in South Africa, but I don't think we need to actually say nice things because we want to feel good. We need to look at things objectively and understand what's happening in other countries, and then we take it from there.
Ms. Kemmer, we need to be cognizant of the time. You've got a number of questions. We need to focus on the gambling side. Sporting, we've already indicated, we do have a portfolio committee in sports.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, the question regarding the runners and the fact that I must write to the sport, yes, it relates to the sport. And, Chair, is it okay if I answer Mr. Honorable Khadebe's question with regards to the letter? Yes. Thank you very much, Chair. Mr. Honorable Khadebe, it is actually out of frustration that you would write a letter like that. It is out of frustration, and yes, I can say there were emotions. But when you are in an industry where you feel that your voice is not being heard, you actually use anything in your disposal to actually make your voice heard. One of the reasons it relates to the future of horse racing and the fact that we do not have the ability to deal with
the African horse sickness, the horse movement remains a problem. It's not just horse export. It is simply because, you know, outside countries do not even want to bring their horses because of the African horse sickness. Then, you know, we're beginning to understand that in other countries and in other racing authorities, things change, and we want to see that change. When you see things happening in other countries, you see proactive CEOs, you see people, you know, saying, how can I do this, not why should we do that? You get frustrated because you understand that someone who's actually stifling growth in the industry and the business. That is the main reason. I don't take any of that personally. It is within, you know, the fact that it is commercial and it was not personal. It is the frustration with the authority body where Gold Circle, Pumelela are actually members of the board. And I am sitting outside and I would like to be a player in the industry. And they will actually make decisions in as far as our getting into the industry. Get frustrated because you know you've got nowhere to go. The next question relates to how the Abu Dhabi agreement will benefit us. We are very hopeful. We are very hopeful because this is happening mainly to benefit South Africa. The question that remains to be asked is the National Horse Racing Authority, the authority body, to actually action what needs to happen. It's well and good for agreements to be signed between countries, but there are specific things that need to be actioned so we can begin to enjoy the benefits as business people. I'm not too sure. The regulation with regards to new entrants, you know, it is just impossible. You have Pumelela Gold Circle sitting on the board as well as other race, other association, and, you know, it is all about, you know, the past. I've only begun to understand that Mr. Silo Resetaba, who was a member of the National Horse Racing Authority, stepped down. I am not too sure exactly what the reasons were, but I've become aware. Thank you.
Now, if you could just answer one of the questions raised earlier more broadly, and that was, do you yourself wish to see this industry more effectively regulated in terms of the gambling review, which I'm sure that you would have had sight of? You've seen, you know, the regulations under gambling. You also are aware, I'm sure, that we had a commission review of that. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chair, but there was less focus on the horse racing matters, and the gambling aspect is just on the periphery because it doesn't relate to, you know, the core business of horse racing. And that is one of the reasons I am requesting an inquiry within horse racing. Just a tidy up session, then we can begin to say, okay, how is the industry going to be regulated? Not regulations first. Let's do a tidy up of the industry, then we can begin to understand what is important when the industry is regulated. It is regulated from an informed position, but also interested parties and stakeholders can put forward their thinking and their input, and it becomes a process that allows the new thinking to emerge.
Thank you for that. There are one or two other questions in that regard, but we're going to be looking in the next 5 to 7 minutes of a tea break. Honourable Khadebi, was it you, Honourable Harris, who had their hand up? There were two hands.
Honorable Khadebe.
No, Chairperson, what I'd like to say is that I'm very happy with the answer she gave, in particular concerning the issue of the letter. I think that we will have to learn from that as South Africans. I think that the other aspect was the issue of the Judicial Commission of Inquiry. I understand that she's in favor of that. But that's what I wanted, so that really, I think that in order to bury the past, we really must go back, step the wounds, get the past out of the wound, and then move forward. And then I think, take and share. Thank you.
Right. There is just one other thing. You will come in with others after tea, Mr. Simoto. You see, just the one person at the moment. I'm making this understanding with you because I know this is your first experience at the public hearings, etc. Ms. Kimmer, I think the question I was trying to pose, many of these, I don't know, different associations, organizations, companies, and so on, have either said, yes, we need a national XYZ, we need it under one umbrella, or they've certainly not objected to it, to the committee, that is. Now, the issue is where you are coming from, apart from the clean-up and this kind of thing. Do you also see this being more broadly regulated? I mean, right now you've got a plethora of organizations under different forms and structures.
Yes, Madam Chair, I personally think it would help to begin to bring all these organizations, and then they can begin to understand their role. Because we have all these associations, and as Mr. Simoto was actually stating, that the grooms do not have an association, and it is something that is quite disturbing, because that is the pillar of the industry. That is where the breeding takes place, and those people are the ones who look after our valuable assets. I can appreciate the intervention made by the TBA, but it is also important for the TBA not to prescribe, to understand what is important for those grooms. Because sometimes people do not want the responsibility of owning horses, because it comes with the feed and a whole lot of other things. Has there been a process of understanding exactly what is important for the grooms? And in this case, we can actually be in a position where, as an industry, we talk in one voice. Then even the people who are at the lowest level have representation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kemmer. Now, there will be, we will be having a short tea break. Mr. Simoto, can you come in here really for just a minute or so at this point before we break for tea? If you have got anything to add, keeping in mind where we are focused. All right.
Thank you, Chair. I will let me go back to, let's say, Chairperson, on my concern now, I just want the government to intervene seriously and urgently this matter with a commission of inquiry. The reason for that, you cannot get the real truth now from this association who are presenting the horse racing industry. For instance, if you still remember, Mr. de Kock is already said that at the time we are applying to the recognition, he said to me, I must forward the constitution. And then he was still waiting. I didn't forward the constitution. But there is a letter. He confirmed that we are thank you, we receive your copy, now we are distributed to the main stakeholders. You see, this is the letter. What he confirmed that he received the constitution and he's going to distribute to the stakeholders. You see? Also, the time I wrote the exams to be a trainer, I wrote the exams twice because they told me I failed the first day, the first exams. And then I asked another opportunity and then they gave me another one and then they said again I failed. According to my understanding, I told myself, no, I passed this exam because I know the experience, I'm got experience of the horse racing, you know, seriously. I asked them, okay, give me the transcription. Then I want to see myself, how did I fail? They refused. My question, why? And then I decided to went to High Court to claim this transcription. When the date after, within three weeks, the date of a trial, in High Court, their attorney, they said, no, they are wrong to refuse to give this transcription. This is illegal. They gave me the transcription, and then I throw the matter to High Court. When I noticed the exams, they gave me this book. When I want me to be a trainer, they told me I must read this book, and then they are going to give me the exams. When I noticed my transcription through this book, They gave me the exams which does not contain this book. That is why I fail. It means the totally, Chairperson, they don't want the grooms to be developed. You see, for instance, you see, if you're looking at the matter of a recognition of the association, and then you can go back to ask yourself the question, why they refuse to give me the transcription? You see? That is why, Chairperson, I also added to Mrs. Kemmer about this. Also, if you can go out after this meeting, you can go straight to Milantin or the Philippi. That is where the groom school were established. The groom school was closed almost 2 years now. No groom school, but Mr. Dewey said there is a school. You see? That is why I'm saying you cannot get the truth, I'm telling you. Also, Chairperson, I also asked the Commission of Inquiry because there are a lot of witnesses that are supposed to be called on that inquiry. For instance, the Pumelela, the time the President of South Africa was Mr. Mandela, in 1998, he gave us 17.5 million for the grooms. For the groom, they must use what they want he mentioned the accommodation. But the Pumelela told the government, no, they haven't got a body. We are going to keep the money, then we are going to help them. Until today, 17.5 million. But I don't want to go into details on that because there are a lot of witnesses that are supposed to come to testify for that. And that inquiry, that is why I suggest the inquiry must be established. You see, that is all, ma'am.
I can see that it was like a few others and in other public hearings we've had where there is much more that comes. I always say the challenge with the committee in so many ways is that right now we're dealing specifically on the gambling regulation and this. However, at the beginning I mentioned how gambling conditions were put in place, that it was meant to also, you know, the transformation, the socio-economic aspects, etc. Hence, we look at that. And I think, although DTI have yet to fully respond, you know, as we will be doing with them when the public hearings are over, etc., they have also indicated, I think, that this aspect we all recognize was a small, perhaps may have been insufficiently looked at, but that is the purpose of bringing it back to the committee. So that our mandate here is to examine that report, that review, and to say from a working group and from public hearings and from our own position here, having got a better understanding, we are able And I repeat, where we agree, where we disagree, where the gaps are. That is right now what we will be expected to do. And among those gaps and among the recommendations, yes, we can consider other issues. So I don't want you to leave here and say you came here all this way and whatever, and you were expecting this and that. I want you to know what our limitation is, but at the same time, these are legal, they're public hearings. And they will go further than here. They will. So please, I can see you're looking alarmed. Why aren't we saying yes? Why aren't we saying no? We have still got to take the matter further for two, forget December, January and February, all right. So that is all I need to say to everyone at this point. Having said that, I want to thank you, Mrs. Kemmer, for returning to us. I also want to thank you, then, Mr. Samoto, when you heard about the process, coming forward to contribute. We are now taking a 7-minute tea break. I'd like to start in 10 minutes. Thank you.
Down there. Now, I'm finding it difficult because I'm seeing some of you sitting on the list. So I take it you will not be responding to anything. I'm just making sure about that. So that is only those sitting here from the DDG on them. And no other members are behind it. Just the DDG and the the way we will do this is the committee will ask questions. Unless it's going to be very specifically, for example, the National Horse Racing Association, the members of other structures or organizations and associations can engage. If an organization indicates that this is not really in their area, the relevant organization will respond. I think that's the way it will be done. I was asked if someone else could give us a short 6-minute video or whatever, and I initially said yes when we were having tea, but given the constraints we've got on equipment, we would not like to risk anything going wrong, I must say, you know, because we're not sure how long the system will be with us as such. So can we start with questions, and perhaps if we do have time, we can then engage, have that video itself. Right. So, I'm looking at the members now. We've got most, the people who are here to respond to the NHRA, the National Horse Racing Association, the Breeders Association, the TBA, RSA, the Race, Racing Association, is it the Racing South Africa? Right, then the RA is the Racing Association for Malala, and Bill Circle has indicated they are here, and the Harness Association. Right. So they both are trying to do the technical routine. Please raise your hand, members, if you have a question or comment. Over to you. Harris, Arnold Smaller, in that order at first.
Chair, I have a comment, not so much a question, because I think that we've had a lot of input from a very wide range of stakeholders in this industry. And I read that I was not here last week, but I have chance to give a little update on some of the things that have said. And I have the following to say. I think what we have here is a sort of a hybrid interaction with the people who are involved in the horse racing industry and the people who are involved in the gambling industry. I think what is clear, and from previous weeks' dialogue and discussion, the thing was raised that the horse racing industry is a dinosaur. And I think we heard it again today, that there's a lot wrong with the way in which the country developed this industry. African horse sickness has been to blame for a considerable part of that. But I think there are structural problems in the industry too. I don't think that this platform is the correct one for us to actually tackle that, because we are looking specifically at the Gambling Review Commission's report. But I do think that as a committee we have to say this industry of horse racing as a sport or as an employer of people, but as an industry in general, needs a review itself. And that will involve our colleagues in agriculture for the horse sickness thing, our colleagues in international relations, because they're the ones that are mandated to oversee international agreements, including the health issues. It will involve our colleagues in sports and so on. But I think we can't go away from these hearings without making a strong point that the horse racing industry, if it is to thrive and if it is to grow the number of people it employs and the number of new entrants, it needs to be looked at in a very focused way. Part of the problem, of course, is with the gambling side of horse racing, and that I think we can tackle in our report. The other thing that I think we need to take away from this is and this I think will involve our colleagues from areas such as labour and other areas, is the need to investigate the size of the problem regarding the people who have clearly suffered abuse, the group. And I think that we need to, as I think my colleagues said, launch some sort of inquiry into this. It would seem to me that our country is structured in such a way with very progressive laws around the prevention of abuse and the prevention of all the things that were described to us today, and obstacles to entry of people at that level into the industry. And I think that we have to look at a separate process with regard specifically to the presentation we got from the grooms today. I think also that the question of the international comparisons and the way in which we approach this whole process with horse racing as a sport needs a special focus. But with regard to the gambling side, we need to really go back to the review report. I think we need to answer the question that Mr. Harris asked about whether we can engage with them on some of these matters. Why were the grooms not considered really in that report? And I think we need to go back to the sort of betting and gambling side of the industry, but not lose sight of the fact that this industry as a sport or as an industry needs a whole review. Thank you.
That was more the nature of comments, of course, broadly. Yes, Honourable Harris.
In line with your clarification earlier that the Gambling Review Commission representatives that are here can reply, I would like to reframe my original question to them, which has now partially been covered by Honourable Dunn. I just went and looked at the section on horse racing conclusion in the report, which I must check again is the reason why we're in here. It's the third to last line in the conclusion. It's not clear why horse racing is unable to sustain itself like any other sporting activity. The commission has held a view that this matter warrants further review. I understand that the commission has very little time to finish the report, but I'd like to know the views on for example, the greens that we had earlier, and whether the commission, the representatives of the commission here, believe that is central to the process of reviewing the gambling regulation, the legislation, or something which is important but not necessarily something we should be looking at. And then, secondly, to perhaps this is more of a comment, and my apologies to the harness racing people that are here. But there's an analogy in they use it in US economics a lot about the buggy whip industry. I presume that the harness people will use buggy whips, but you know, the buggy whip industry in the US is a massive industry a couple of centuries ago. And apparently had a lobby to government to intervene to save them from the march of technology that makes risking most vehicles instead of getting around in cars. And there's an element of which I share the commission's question about why horse racing is unable to sustain itself. And I must admit my instinct is to say our responsibility as government is to, or as Parliament's legislation, is to say to the government that they need to prevent the social damage of gambling, and they need to regulate the competition issues. But beyond that, you know, it's the Wild West out there. The industry needs to grow and survive if they can, and if they can't, then we need to move on to the next thing. We can't spend our time worrying about the buggy whip industry while people are making cars in store. Specifically my comments are aimed at the Commission and the representative chair, and I would like more clarity on what they meant by that original statement I read, because frankly, it probably reflects my view as right now.
Thank you very much. There was someone else besides before you on your Macintosh on the last one.
Thank you. I think if I listen to what was said this morning and some of the offers that we received from the specific community to do a sort of a field trip where engagement with co-ops, with groups, those type of sections that are the lower part of this industry, of this office. And I know the working committee will take it up, but I think it's essential that we do take that up, that we get a conclusive sort of that we do understand what it is all about. And I also would like to understand from the horse racing industry, of the 3,500 crews that they do fall under, or that fall within this industry, and those wonderful programs that you did spoke about earlier, how many of those people actually do participate in those programs that you do give, and what is the actual success rate of those people going forward? Is there some sort of a success rate that you can measure yourself with to say, of 50 people going into these training courses, that at least say 10% or 20% advanced, so that you can more or less say that you are building towards something positive, and that you can see that there is light on the other side of the tunnel? I think it's also important that we do know that legislation does take some time to develop and to be approved, especially if it's going to be in some sort of an act. But there are some short-term issues that needs to be addressed and can be addressed. And this is where DTI and the National Gambling Board must come into play. This is where we've got to look at such a long-term standards within this industry. This is where we've got to we could look at maybe some of the revenue formula that could assist this industry, and we don't have to cut away a 1 or 2 year process. So I would hope that when DTI actually comes and address the issues on the report, that some of the solutions that they do bring up, that there is a bit of a focus on how to address some of these issues, and or how they've already done so, if that is already in the progress, so that there's a constant liaison between the stakeholders and with the department. And I do not want to see this industry fail, no matter what it is. Technology is there and it's advanced, but and so this industry must go with it, as the electronic bingos, as the casinos, and we've got to accommodate all those issues. But it's how we accommodate those issues in order to make it sustainable. And we've got to find the solutions. And that is my comment towards our thoughts again. And I know this is probably the end of the stakeholders situation, but I would like to leave it there that I would want to say to the stakeholders that we will make sure that we look at all the concerns that was raised by all participants. Thank you, Madam.
Thank you very much, Honourable.
Madam Chair, just to comment, I don't know if the horse racing industry picked up how formidable a chairman is of this portfolio committee, because the president himself said that when he was in the Gulf States, where he's recently been on an official visit, he raised the matter of our exporting our horses. So it is being dealt with at the highest level in South Africa. So I don't know, maybe I'm giving credit to somebody who doesn't deserve it, but I think the point is that issue is being addressed at the highest level, and we're aware of it. It's in our national interest to build that export industry. Secondly, I would just like to thank our Chief Whip, Mr. Khatebe, for the nice way he handled that letter, which is part of the submission from Fini Caremark to Mr. Rob de Kock. As they were saying, Trigada in the Free State, where Mr. Khatebe comes from, of Unimani Bow on the Nazi. Then I just have one question, Madam Chair. There's a very interesting document on the horse industry called an empirical study. I haven't seen this before. I see it by the University of Johannesburg. Could we, in fact, know exactly? I don't know where the connection is coming straight off of the bingo stuff. So I can't, I'd like to know who, what produced this study, because it's really quite an interesting study, I think. The last point I think we need to understand, and I think I'm speaking now of the legislature. The gambling industry is not regarded as the most uplifting part of South African society or of any society. But one has to deal with the reality. We want to have a well-regulated, well-organized gambling industry. At the same time, it's essentially got to regulate itself to a large extent under certain laws which we as legislators and as the state put in place. But then we want them to cooperate as much as possible, and we want to cooperate too, and they need to be legal and effective, and it's a change. And as my colleague Harris, the Honourable Harris said, it's looking after yourself. And that's also the message to the grooms. I mean, I think it's very good of them to come and present it to them. Ultimately, the grooms are going to help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. They must push to get it. And the industry must remember Lyndon Johnson's famous comments. I won't give them in detail about camel and tent. The point is, the industry needs to realize it's much better to have the camel and the tent with the camel inside the tent. So, and we must try to do that. That's what the New South Africa is about. We want to have a more inclusive society involving as many people
conducted the empirical study, but that, you know, she provides us with that one.
It's the University of Johannesburg.
Yes.
The University of Johannesburg. Chapter 5, I don't know what chapters 1 to 4 and 10 can mean.
Well, look, I think that the point is Mrs. Timmer will respond to that, you see, if she can. But let's see that there is, did you not have your hand up on the book, David?
So thank you, Chairperson. I think that we as the proponents have to appreciate all the work which has been put on from the gambling board, which is asking the stakeholders to acquire it. And I think that this issue should have been raised here, as Mr. Smiley has said, they must be attended to at the highest cost. The first critical case is that even if some of these aspects of the hearings which are coming from the people do not relate to us, there's nothing which stops us from referring those things to the discovered to the relevant people within the parliament or within government. So I think that the issue of the African health sickness, the agricultural department market, just of this said, the issue of the export of the thoroughbred horses, the Department of Trade and Industry, must do it as of this study, as they've already shown the lead by taking the thing to Dubai and having that instrument. I think that's critical. The issue of the transformation of the industry, I think this is in the center of this public hearing. So what is critical here? I think that we have to emphasize to all the people who are here that South Africa will never prosper unless all the citizens of South Africa participate in a particular industry. Because once it becomes exclusive, it's going to become a scenario. Type of industry, not only care support. I think everyone must work towards that direction. Must work towards that direction. What I also have to appreciate is the honesty with which people came up with the issue. The challenges and the successes which they had. I think that it gives us an advantage as the legislation that we can make informed decisions from their input. So, but Chairperson, as the honourable member has said, the issue of people being assaulted, really, we cannot have that. I think that it is, this must be condemned. Must be condemned like all other citizens. We cannot allow that to happen in the public. Number two, the issue of transformation change, the issue of entrance, the new entrance to the industry, really, that thing must be speeded up. That's why I appeal to the National Housing and Operating Authority, is that what is issues they are doing? So I asked that question earlier. They didn't respond. What is issues they are doing that to help the new entrants? For example, the Health Grooming Association, whatever. They had all these speakers. What is it which they do? Do they go out of their own way to help them? Because if someone comes and knocks the door, if you cannot respond to that, you take that person to their relevant. You ask that person to go to work, they have to go to eye. So I feel like there must be some sort of protection around that. They must be proactive. Because if they are proactive, that is going to be easy for us to deal with everyone across the board. Okay, I'm saying this because I want to see you, because I want to see you.
This is the challenge of being a whip sitting on three committees, and I'm a whip on all of them, but because of our strategic position as trade and industry, but also for certain other reasons, on the Kaderi Monetary Committee as well. And I know that you will study the documents because you're one of the members that has a big time reading. So thank you very much indeed. And I do know you're aware of the documentation, and I know we will engage further, and that you are fully aware of the meeting on Friday as well. Thank you, I'm all for you. And I just point out one or two other things, that if there's any member, not a heart treatment side, not any member, if any one of the members you came here as part of the public hearings, members of the public, they may come over to the other side. They are seated here. I know that Honourable Kamal, we asked you to sit up front here. We will do that so that we you're not going to be speaking from Mali, Walla, Wendy, because you're unable to. So just make sense there. Having said that, Honourable Harrison, these are the listen interpreters, and I know that's not your intention because you do work very constructively in the committee itself. What we learned, and when we saw the one person that I'm aware of from the gambling review commission, which was the commissioner was Ms. Luna, if you recall me, and was that she wasn't here for the commission per se, in the same way if I went over to Geneva, for example, I couldn't say the committee had sent me if I was just there to listen in on something, because I hadn't been sent there. And we would have a responsibility with whatever came out here, we've undertaken that we're bringing in the commission to engage them specifically in this area. So, just to make it clear, the questions you are raising must be responded to by the commission. It must be. But it must be responded to by the commissioner, the Luden, within that structure. So, it's not a question of them not being responded to. So I hope that is understood and the spirit that it is actually meant. You will get that response. We are just as eager to hear what's going on and why there were certain gaps. And that is not the only gap. I'm sure you're aware of that. The final point just on this is certainly from myself here. I still would like in some of the responses that come up, and some of you, this is going to be your last opportunity to engage within the public hearing process on this occasion, you know, during this phase. I would like it clear, gathering itself, yes, piece of legislation here, already indicated why and how it is even for the members to fall under the current democracy, democratic dispensation. But I also made it very, very clear that the whole thing was to ensure that while it legislated it, in other words, it didn't criminalize it, make it illegal, it also provided, if you like, the certain conditionality, certain other measures that would be part and parcel of that process. One of them was transformation, but the other one was employment, the other one was the local economy, and so on and so forth. And it becomes extremely personal for us to hear within the gambling industry, which, believe you me, is not a value we would like to inculcate, but it is one we recognize is here with us, just as the sun is. So let us move on that basis, noting that what you're saying here will assist us as we go forward in finalising our comments on the Commission review in this particular regard as part of the broader piece of legislation. You know, I certainly wouldn't like anyone to take as long as I've just taken. So, if we can, by a show of hands, you all know where the questions are coming, you know, whether they're directed at you or not. Please raise your hand, indicate who you are, your structure, and what it is you are responding to. Thank you.
No, sorry, Madam Chair, we were just discussing who was going to start first. I'm Adrian Todd, and I'm here representing the Thoroughbred Breeders Association of South Africa. The area that I'm going to briefly discuss before I turn over to another member to discuss more from the racing side is the transformation issues. We have previously discussed the co-ops. There's 10 of those currently. There's another 20 in the process of being formed right now.
So far, they're all successful. They've had a first 6 season successful sales. They will be selling again starting in January at the Premier sale. And there are a few horses there that I think will do very well for the co-ops. I previously stated that we're in consultation, and I believe this is about to be signed with TAS FIDA in order to obtain funding and assistance with formalizing the mentorship program, which is a vital part of it. I will go one step further to say that in the racing industry, in the Western Cape alone, they do have a work riders training program. There is a school for grooms operating currently at Philippi. I have seen that. The work riders program encourages grooms to go through a process of learning to ride in the work riders races. They then, in their work, are also work riders. There are races for work riders. As we said in previous discussions, the cream of those work riders are then eligible to go on to become jockeys. Obviously, from a safety perspective, not everybody who wants to ride a horse in a race is going to. You know, most, I couldn't do it myself. The work riders program is a 3-month course, and it just keeps rotating. The groom school is an ongoing thing. The groom co-ops is an expanding thing. I think as an organization, an industry slash a sport, we have tried to embrace transformation at grassroots levels and try to help the people get included in the business structures of the industry. I feel that the committee has responded very well to our main challenge, and I'm speaking now purely from a breeding perspective. One of the main challenges of transformation there is the market must grow. The main challenge there is the export issues. You can create 400 new farmers tomorrow. If you can't export their product, who are they going to sell to? I will now turn over to Graham Hawkins from Gold Circle, who will just fill us in a little more on the grooms, races as they are in KZN. Thank you.
Thank you, Adrian. Graham Hawkins, Chief Operating Officer, Gold Circle. As is the case, as Adrian has just described, in KwaZulu-Natal based at Sonnefeld, we have a groom school where we offer the same services as are offered in the Western Cape. We also have a work riders program and safe work riders races. All of these efforts are in recognition of our need to transfer skills and to uplift those who wish to better themselves. We have mentorship programs, and even within the sales, the trainers themselves, albeit that I don't have a mandate to speak on their behalf, I certainly can give the committee an indication, a positive indication. The trainers have recognized the need to progress their staff through their own ranks. And I'm sure that Mr. Ducott will testify to the fact that there are now more and more registered stable employees, which is a higher level within a stable than just the groom, who are now previously disadvantaged individuals. More assistant trainers than they've ever been in South Africa. Also, Sonnefeld, as I've previously alluded to, is the South African Jockey Academy, and this has certainly transformed. The vast majority of the intake you learn through a formal 5-year apprenticeship are now previously disadvantaged individuals, and we've seen the fruits of that through very many successful black jockeys driving South Africa, including Lucy Yeni, who just recently represented South Africa in an international competition. We're embracing transformation within Gold Circle Country, as you've heard from Adrian in the Western Cape, and also in KwaZulu-Natal. And I'll now ask Larry Weinstein from the Racing Association to comment further in this regard as to what's happening on the high north.
Madam Chairperson, Larry Weinstein from the Racing Association. In our region, there's a groom school advisory committee, which is funded by the trust. There's a work riders program, which I, in my presentation, I showed all the members. We pride ourselves on putting a lot of time and effort into this. I think we have set on all facets of the grooms and all facets of the actual work riders, and I would forward it to the committee for them to actually see what the success rate is to answer the follow-up question. The honourable follow-up question. So from our point of view, we take pride and I think the easiest thing is for people to actually see what goes on and then judge for themselves. Easy for me to say this is how successful we are, but I think it's important that people really go and see what is being done. If you look at again, you talk about transformation, the assistant trainers, the work riders that have become jockeys. If you look at the number of successes that they've had, it's very important, and that's why we ensure that this program continues. And money is put into it from the trust every year, and large amounts of money is put into these programs. Thank you.
Right. That was on some of the issues training related to transformation, all right, in that particular regard. Now, there were other questions here. Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Daniel Flair. I'm with the National Horse Racing Authority. Just to remind the committee of the National Horse Racing Authority, the regulatory body for the sport of horse racing, we have nothing to do with the gambling side of it. However, just to mention to the committee that in terms of our constitution and our rules and our processes, we do not have any barriers to entry. So anyone is welcome to apply. If you want to be a participant in the sport, be it as a breeder, be it as a trainer, be it as a jockey, a work rider, a stable employee, these are the attributes which we register as participants. There are no barriers to entry. Thank you.
If we do want to focus on gambling, as we indicated, that is what we have to respond to. Do we have any responses to any of the other issues raised, in particular with respect to gambling, horse racing within that area? There are no further responses. All right, I've seen someone in front.
Madam Chair, Rion Dikasi from Kumalela. I think may I respond to an indirect question by, I think it was Honourable Panamara, and also by to one or two of the statements to clarify one or two of the statements made by Ms. Kemmer that were not specifically raised in question. Firstly, from a Pumalela point of view, we support Mrs. Honourable Fernandez's statement that horse racing needs a review itself. We're 100% supportive of that. We would like to inquire if the process of conducting such a review is going to be extended, whether the committee would give some consideration to the interim relief that we have sought, particularly bearing in mind the precarious financial position that the sport of horse racing finds itself in the Western Cape. We fully support an inquiry into the prevention of abuse to grooms, and I would very much like the National Horse Racing Authority to enlighten the committee on express policies and procedures in as far as disciplinary action is concerned to trainers. If there's not enough time, Honourable Chair, to do it now, then to do it in writing for you at the right stage. As far as the position that Kumalela has with Ms. Kemmer is concerned, looking at Ms. Kemmer's presentation of this morning, we're supportive of most of what Ms. Kemmer said, with one or two possible exceptions. We are trying to prevent Ms. Kemmer from becoming a race course owner. In order for Ms. Kemmer to become a race course owner, she needs a suitable piece of land, and she needs to apply to her municipality for permission to race there on, and she needs to apply to the local provincial gambling board for a racing license. None of this is within our control, and I can give you the utmost assurance that we would not object to Ms. Kemmer applying to that. As far as the Arlington Racecourse is concerned, we put Arlington up for sale after consultation with our stakeholders in Port Elizabeth. guarantee our owners in the area that we wouldn't reduce the number of races in the Port Elizabeth area. And therefore, we have made a commitment to our owners that we would install a poly track at Fairview and conduct the same number of races there. And therefore, we simply couldn't offer Mrs. Kemmer the races. We offered Mrs. Kemmer the real estate, and I might enlighten the Commission that since our last presentation, the Eastern Cape Gambling Board has given us the permission to sell Arlington. So the environmental impact study is the only thing that's outstanding, and should we have a favourable response on that, then we are still prepared to sell Arlington. But the point is, Arlington has always been for sale as a piece of real estate. What Mrs. Gemma does with this is really Mrs. Gemma's business, not ours. As far as the perception that we are trying to squeeze Mrs. Gemma out of the sport, I must say that Mrs. Gemma has not applied to the National Horse Racing Authority for colours to become a racehorse owner, nor a breeder, nor for that matter any of the other things that the NHA regulates. So if I could illustrate to the committee, the schema is really wanting to establish a rival sport or a rival code, pretty much like Kelly Packer did in the 70s in Australia. And that's really why there seems to be an ourselves versus Ms. Kemmer situation. Not that we either can or will prevent Ms. Kemmer from owning a race course, getting any racing licenses whatsoever. We have represented to this committee, as well as to the gambling board, that we believe that tote betting should be regulated on a national basis and that there should be one national tote. So should Mrs. Kemmer make application for a regional tote license, we would naturally object. However, it's not in our, we would simply, as an interested party, object, and it's up to the provincial authorities and ultimately to the government to decide how many tote licenses there should be in the country. We have made strong submissions to this committee that standalone provincial totes with the obligation to funding the sport that we have are not viable. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
John, is Arlington, is that what it was called? I know it was a race track.
It's
never been a race track.
No, Chair, it is a race track. So we're selling it for its real estate value because we've committed to our owners that we will race the same number of race meetings that we used to hold at Arlington at Fairview as well.
I
cannot see any objection that the municipality would have because it is. And for that matter, any other piece of land anywhere else in South Africa that's suitable for a race track is simply an application to the municipality and then to the local gambling board. There is no monopoly here.
Do we have, we would like the other, there were some comments, fair enough, but there were other questions raised as well. One large one was on transformation, fair enough. We haven't really got fully to grips with that, but it may be that people have gone as far as they can. Bear in mind we're dealing with gambling legislation. Within the gambling legislation, for example, and I'm sure I may not have it word for word correct, but if you take the casinos, for example, not that we say all casinos again, but using that simply as an example, we're well aware that in the casino, legislation which covers that, insists in that license that one has to have a particular profile that demonstrates that the population of South Africa itself is reflected in that ownership, you see. That was among the many things that was raised. I think that's the point we're trying to get to. Now, that's gambling. Without a doubt, that's gambling. Largely, it's meant to do. Now, when we come on the gambling side of horse racing, what's the transformation in that regard, you see? In that regard. Yes. So things like trade, exports, etc. are part of our broader mandate without a doubt. But specifically here, can we get anyone who can indicate to us what it is in the horse racing, broadly speaking, breeding, stunts, whatever it is, that we can honestly say, here, there is this clause, this whatever, that encourages, you know, this form of ownership going forward, and has what the banks have been told for many years, and the financial houses are, is the 5-year plan, which indicate transformation, you see. I don't think you've got such a plan. That it's that kind of thing that would perhaps from your side begin to, you know, close off your input. Among the other responses that haven't been questions that haven't been responded to. If you can't, you can't, and then we can move on.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry, I just want to get to gambling, which is what you want us to do. I don't want to talk about transformation or what I want to ask. There was a discussion that was made to me, sorry, because you've given us very good documents, so I don't want to go back on all that stuff, and it's very good information. But one of the strongest gambling reforms that was put forward by Pumalera, amongst others, was that we should have tokens, the betting, and that bookies are getting off quite lightly in terms of contributing to the industry, and the other argument was that in those domains, where there's really good gambling on, and let's include dog racing or pigeon racing, whatever it is, but where there's good gambling, it's tote, basically tote gambling, not using bookmakers. Now, I would like to hear from the horse racing people, and the perhaps not the guys who've got a vested interest in totes, what their view is on whether there should be totes or bookies or both or and so on. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Evan from the National Gambling Board. I think I'd like to address the issue that you raised earlier on with the transformation, particularly from the regulatory side point of view. Most gambling boards, provincial gambling boards, encourage licensees put a plan in place when they apply for that. And so we should also put a plan in place to indicate their plan in the threat of transformation. For instance, to say like how far will they expect in the particular point of children with regard to transformation. So transformation is threat at a particular point of view. But however, what we have done as the National Gambling Board as well, we work in partnership with the Department of Trade in that. We have put a podcast together on top of GDP. What the podcast does is give us an opportunity to check transformation within the gambling vicinity. Just give an example. What it allows for is for licensees to register a particular podcast and give us an overview in terms of their transformation progress that they've made. We have started with the process, and whatever we are in consultation with the industry players. We will soon be meeting with Kumalela, which are present here. We have met with the NHSA, National Horse Racing Authority, to give us a status quo in terms of transformation progress, which can be tracked to the two sides, so that we are able to have statistics at our team. But currently, it's just assumption in terms of what we have, and we get to get from them, not necessarily being authenticated with that one. But I think going forward, we should be able to give a clear cut in terms of what is the data for the transformation.
We need, let me explain, we've got 10 minutes left.
I need
now moving forward. Who are those who have not had their hands up and who wish to respond who have not had their hands up? Right, it's 20 minutes of that, and then this came up. And one of that, I mean, on the right. It's yourself.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Robin Brunt from the Thoroughbred Breeders Association. Well, remember in our presentation we pointed out that we come at this from a different angle altogether. Our breeders conduct agricultural enterprises, but they supply the means of production on which people bet. And we made the comment, why do those who labour in the field to produce the products not benefit in the same way that those people who gamble on the product benefit? And I think when this inquiry takes place, or when you decide how to take this forward, I hope that you'll keep that as a consideration. Our problem within the industry as a whole is really one of funding. And that really goes back to the model on which the gambling board has got the power to change the percentage take-up which exists. That's the power that you have to regulate and make our industry better and stronger. And I would hope that you'll consider the position of the agricultural industry when you do that. For example, one of the things that you might consider is in regard to the bookmakers. I pointed out that there is a great deal of what we call free riding taking place, in which the post has got to fund not only the regulatory authority of the National Horse Racing Authority, but also all the prize money, all the cost of live racing, all the cost of putting on the show, whereas the bookmakers get away scot-free. It's not the fault of the bookmakers that they're advantaged by the system that exists. It's probably not the fault of the regulators. I wouldn't like to point the finger at you. It's probably more to do with the history and what you inherited from Great Britain with the original colonial structure. But that does need to be rolled back, and you need to take a really good, long, hard look at the percentage take-out. We were asked by the Honourable Fundamental about the racing jurisdictions around the world which flourish. In almost all cases, these are first monopolies. A monopoly may be a bad word in regard to the competition board here, but in actual fact, it seems to work very well. I'd like to tell you that in those jurisdictions, not only does the racing industry and the prize money flourish, but also the tax that government gets back from the betting also is much greater than occurs here in regards to bookmakers. So these are aspects that you should and look at. I would like to say that having listened to Cindy Cannon's presentation this morning, that the Breeders Association shares a lot of her goals and visions. The dreams that she has for the sport, shared by us as well. The problem always comes back to the same thing. Who should pay for it? How do you fund the prize money on which people are incentivized to pay prices for horses? The whole market depends on the prize money level, and not enough is filtering down. And trying to look at the model rationally, I think, in my view, it seems to me that the share which has not been properly paid is that by the bookmakers. So you need to decide, do we need bookmakers? And if we do, to what extent should they make a contribution? Because everybody must contribute fairly and equally. And the one-sided situation that we have right now is just not correct. Thank you. Larry?
Thank you very much. No, I just indicate that I indicated make a person in front of you. If you'd like to take over the chair, let me know.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to share a bit of information with regards to, the Eastern Cape Gambling Board has presided over and made a decision. Pumalela applied to the Eastern Cape Gambling Board to have a clause that relates to the funding of indigenous racing in the Eastern Cape, excluded from their license. Now, we are here debating issues that relate to the fact that our industry is in decline. We expect people to just come from nowhere to actually invest in the industry. Now, ARG objected on the basis that Pumalela is the biggest player in the horse racing industry. And therefore, it is expected that Kumalela would invest in the development of ports in the rural areas. One of the lessons that I actually put forward is it's because Kumalela is not deriving revenue out of the indigenous races. That is a small pool of people who enjoy horse racing. They enjoy horse racing for their own reasons, but there is an understanding that if they are given an opportunity to develop in the way that is acceptable to them, they would actually contribute in this industry in a positive way. Because we're talking about numbers. Why now, a company that is listed, that has been given access by horse racing fraternity, doesn't see the point of investing 170,000 per annum, states that it is responsibility to invest in horse racing. What about, you know, the fact that those people are interested in this industry? And yes, they use higher breath. Thank you.
What we will do for the rest of our questions, because one or two of them are not responded to, you've heard the question, we've had the issue. We've got a bulk of documents and working group to get through. Our focus in this instance will be on a gambling commission review. I hope I'm making it clear. And we will fill in those gaps. But we will ask through the working group to identify further issues and ourselves in committee. Some of the issues were already raised here, for example, the Honourable Harris in respect of the Gambling Review Commission, and we will be inviting you back. But we will communicate with the Commissioner in this regard to see just how soon we can engage on that process. For others who are interested, we will be pursuing online identified academic people in this regard who will be able to provide us with further information on online gambling itself before we conclude our work on the commission review. We have also, of course, to engage with DGI as well. And that will take place on the 17th of January for a couple of days in this regard. So those of you who sit on the working group, I'm going to ask you to raise some of the issues there, but we definitely have to take the position forward now that the working group needs to engage at their next meeting, and I'm not just sure, let me check when that is. Then I understand it's tomorrow morning, I've just been informed. Is that right? Well, then that's a nice early start. Here in the horse racing industry, that's quite late. That's fine, yes. Honourable Paul, I hope you will raise this there. There is another meeting taking place here at 1 o'clock. For those of you who can just indicate to me, I know Honourable Harris's question, two of the questions weren't responded to. One I gave a position on, the other was not covered, but I had a position. We'll take those forward in that particular matter. So having said that, members, I'm going to thank let's explain to the horse racing. We've given you more time than we gave any other aspect of the acting. I must indicate that. You've actually had 50% of the time, and I'm sure you're aware that you're not the whole industry at all. So we did do that deliberately because we became aware of a number of the challenges you identified and one of the commission review identified itself. But the committee needs to stay behind
3 minutes. I want to thank everyone who came here this morning and who over a period of time has been sharing with us. I want to apologize to Malala again for the system breaking down, so we couldn't entertain that at work. They offered to give a 6 minute showing of a video. But I would ask you to make this video available to the committee so at the very least the working group would be able to view that. So everyone has a copy. That's where these extra funds go. Thank you very much. All right, thank you. With respect to the committee, we put here consideration of this. Do you know what these are? These are simply the corrections to the amendments that were made. Do you remember that? These are the corrections.